Oh, yeah, camera's right there. Hey, Gundam Maniacs. Welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm, of course, your host, Adam Blue. With me, Steven Midnight Hatter. Steven, what's up, man?
Not a lot. Just taking it easy. How are you?
No, doing good. Well, actually, that's a relevant question. Usually people just say that just to say it, but yeah.
I mean it.
I've been sick, and it was like, I was not expecting this. And I mean, to be honest, it's not like anything serious though. It's one of those, like when you get flu symptoms. I didn't have a sore throat. That's the one I hate the most. So, but it was just where I had to lay around or I'd get exhausted. But today I think was like, okay, I really do feel good. And then, yeah, I feel that energy come to me.
Was it one of those things where you're like, okay, tomorrow I'll feel better. Tomorrow I'll feel better. And it's just, yeah.
Monday, when I woke up Monday and I was like, I'm not feeling great. And then I had to take off work. Like I remember telling my wife, but I'm going to be fine tomorrow. Even work. I was like, work guys, just reply to this email with the latest things and I'll get to it. And then I woke up on Tuesday and I'm like, no,
it's not happening.
And then Wednesday I did the blue cast in the morning, but that drained all my energy. And I was like, okay. So, but no, I'm good. I want to say what really helps, I think, is a miracle thing is lemon. You know, I think people said that a lot. Always have that in water.
Yeah.
Vitamin C. Bunch
lemon,
of
ginger, echinacea. Actually, you know, garlic, too. Old Italian secret. I could go on and on about the medicinal benefits of garlic, but.
Yeah. No, really. I mean, in fact, it's also a part of the Castlevania lore. So another benefit there. I mean,
keep the Alucards at bay.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, so like being sick, like lately, I feel like even with the sickness happening, I still have my other life stuff I have to deal with. And I tell you, my kid's school has been so annoying this week while I've been trying to feel better. So like, for instance, we got this email that was like, your student broke their laptop. They're gonna have to pay, pay $100 to repair it. And so we asked him about it. He's like, well, the teacher asked me to put it on the floor in front of the class, you know, for later. And I'm like, oh, so the teacher, okay. So then my wife, I told my wife, reach out and say this.
Yeah.
We haven't heard back. So I'm thinking they're like, the teacher is probably trying to pass on the.
Especially when you think about like a fee, like $100. I've broken my laptop a number of times and it is never as cheap as $100 to fix. Screen alone was like $325 without labor. Like, you know, I had to buy the new screen and then install it. And that was like an hour worth of my time, which my time is worth a lot for those of you who don't know.
yeah. I mean, how much do you think? They don't even know how much I pay you for this. But anyway, the other thing is, so I live, this is one thing I'm really grateful of. I live right across the street from the elementary school. And it's an intersection, so it's a highway, it's a road. Our main street goes to the road, then there's the school. And so the thing is, that's not even the entrance of the school. This is like this side back, but parents will line up the cars all along the road, blocking the road. And what happened the other day, and there's been complaints, and even the school says, hey, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. And what happened the other day was my son was crossing, but he had to stop because since the cars are stopped in the road, he has to then go into the road, stop in front of the stopped car, peer out. And we saw that there was a van coming. So we're like, okay, stop. But then the van stopped because it didn't know what to do because.
Right. I mean, there's a person in the road. Like,
yeah. So then he starts walking out because the van stopped. Then the lady starts yelling at him. Then I go, excuse me. And then she takes off. And then the guy that parked there, I just look at him like, you're not supposed to park there. And then he started saying something to me. And I'm like, look, I'm sick. I don't want to deal with this. So I went home, called the school, left a message. Okay. Called non-emergency. They're like, if they don't call you back in a day, let us know. So today I went out there. They hadn't called back yet. So today I went out there and the people were lining up. And then as I walked across the street nonchalantly, very slow to go help him across the street, I then get out my phone, turn on record and start recording all the, and then everyone starts taking off and my son's friends were there and they were like, oh, that was cool. Cause like I owned this. It's like, I don't want to deal with any of this.
No, you know, and it's so, I probably am one of the worst road rage kind of people. You know, it's not even things that are necessarily like illegal to do, but you know, people just do them out of convenience. One of the things that drives me nuts is when you're like driving around in a parking lot and people act like, oh, because there's no line, it's not two lanes. And so they'll just drive down the middle of lanes. And it's like, well, what if someone's trying to turn in there? And it's like, it's just inconsiderate behavior.
Like 50% of the time, someone has to stop because that, yeah, you're right. That happens more often. Yeah. And here's the thing with the parked cars. Like if it wasn't that it made it a danger for my intersection to only have one lane and then it's blocked, like I wouldn't care, but that became dangerous. No, it's funny what I did. I got an aerial view of the school with the street and I made a diagram showing the cars. I even numbered it and I even looked up the Texas code for the saying that it's legal to do that. And then I made this whole document, uploaded it to the ULIS website, City of ULIS.
Got them.
I got a lot done. I was, but anyway, well, yeah, let's talk about non-real things, and let's talk about robots, shall we? What was I watching the other day? That Love, Death, and Robots, you know, speaking of robots. Have you seen any of those episodes?
I haven't, but I saw that you were shouting that out, especially during your review of the footage from
Requiem for Vengeance. Oh, the clip from Requiem for Vengeance, yeah. Mm-hmm. Check that show out because it is, I think it's totally like a sci-fi fan's dream because it's 36 episodes and as far as I know, they're not related. So it's more of like a buffet of, hey, what type of sci-fi do you want to watch? And it's Tim Miller, so it's really good CGI. The story, it's really cool. So that's on Netflix. If you guys are interested.
Well, Death and Robots, there you go. I remember when it was announced, I guess, was it 2-3 years ago now?
Yeah. Because I think, and then they just announced the fourth season to come soon. And hey, just real quick, want to shout out Paul Cashin. This is the first live stream for me. Happy to be here.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. A couple of the things I wanted to bring up before we get started. I'm still doing the comparison review of these two.
Oh, very nice.
Haven't finished it yet. Multiple reasons was because being sick, and so it was easier for me to do that Requiem video. But also, I was so happy that clip for Requiem for Vengeance came out. So, we're going to talk about that in a second. So then let me show. If I say JDF, what does it make you think?
The Power Ranger that passed away.
Yeah. Although that last, you shouldn't have said the last part.
So now you've triggered me. I mean, you know, it's still, the wound is still fresh. So I know. Like.
So he's got a new movie coming out. It's an independent film, but it raised $500,000. And it said it released September 4th, but that might have been for, wait. Xionic Shadow, if you've seen it, you need to send me the deets. I've been looking to how to watch this. Anyway, it's called Legend of the White Dragon. And this is the action figure. It's made by Valiverse, cool, which is a company that, what is it with me? It's like I'm dyslexic with the camera. Okay. It's a guy that used to work for Hasbro. And then he left and wanted to make his own line of action figures. Sweet. They're okay. I think it's like it's a more technical Marvel Legends. I think Marvel Legends has the budget to potentially look better, but this guy is really going for pinless, different types of articulation. What's cool is, I should have had it out. It came with a JDF head sculpt.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Short or long hair?
Short, because in the movie.
Because in the movie, he's got it kind of buzzed.
Yeah, it's a buzz cut, and it's got a light beard, and then he has like a tattoo, like a numbers tattooed on the side. It's really well done. It was a two pack. It was this and another one. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up just because, there is some crossover with Power Rangers and Gundam fans, you know. I guess search for Legend of the White Dragon. It's supposed to be an indie film, but there's a trailer. It looks cool. It has a cool lesser known martial artist, Mark Dukakis.
Oh, I love Mark Dukakis. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's in it. So
that's awesome.
I know.
So he took a break from his Iron Chef duties.
Oh, yeah. And I've never even watched the Iron Chef, but I knew that's what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, and he was also in one of the John Wicks, right?
Yeah.
Why did I say it like that? John Wick.
No, but yeah, the coolest movie that he was in that I've ever seen was the first movie I've ever seen with him. Brotherhood of the Wolf. Did you ever see that movie?
I didn't.
Check it out. It's a French film.
Okay.
Where he plays a Native American that is a martial artist, but he travels with this Frenchman, and it's like, I don't know, 15, 1600s. I'm really bad with history. And he is like going to help like in France where there's like the issue of and this guy's like a scientist. There's an issue of like a beast that is killing people. So it's like kind of werewolfy, but then it has martial arts.
Yeah, really, I kind of like the, I mean, the setting is pretty unique, right? Because typically, you know, you get that kind of, well, what do you even call like horror fantasy, like the Dracula werewolf type stuff?
What do you call fans of that?
Like just that genre of like horror fantasy, I guess. Because, like, you know, you think about like Van Helsing and like the stuff that inspired like Castlevania. You know, I don't think that it's typically set during kind of, what is that, like the French Indian War, where
that's a good question. Yeah. And because a lot, yeah, I don't, there's sometimes like Hammer or Universal Monsters, but I kind of see what you're saying. There seems to, unless you just call it classic monsters, I feel like there should be a term for that. And it's almost what, like, is it A24 or Blumhouse? I forget which one, how they're kind of bringing back those types of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're,
but you know what? They really do need to make more werewolf movies in general.
Yeah, I mean, obviously vampires are played to death, and I think we're kind of at the
zombies.
It doesn't seem like, dude,
when I was in high school, like, I felt like I was the only one that liked zombies. I remember go to class, be like, guys, check out this movie. Oh my god, Dawn of the Dead. And it was back when the 80s one, you know, like, because we were still renting tapes or whatever. And I'm like, guys, Dawn of the Dead, the great. And then I would look up all these zombie movies. And then by the time I got out of high school, like, I felt like zombie movies would come out and just not be good. And I'm like, what is happening?
I mean, it's just so overexposed. Like, right now we have, I mean, this has been for the last like 10, 12 years. We have like a zombie 5K in Richmond, where it's like, you know, there's a bunch of people that will dress as zombies and then chase you for a 5K.
Oh yeah, like, that's right.
It's like a fun run.
So it's like so mainstream.
Oh, it's disgusting. Like, so the worst thing you can wish upon someone is that their favorite franchise or their favorite thing becomes popular.
Well, I know it's weird how that happens, isn't it? It's like, I'm trying to get Gundam popular more. No, it's Gundam's a weird one, because Gundam's almost like, where it's like, this actually like really is good. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot to explore. So it's like, hey guys, look at this. But anyway, back to the werewolf thing. Like, I love the werewolf genre, but I don't think there's a lot of good movies. You know, there's a Howling. I even think Thriller is a good, that werewolf section is a very good, competent werewolf part.
Yeah.
American Werewolf in London, Paris, Bad Moon. There's a few. So like how Dawn of the Dead, I feel like this is something for your podcast, but anyway, like Dawn of the Dead, you know how the one that Zack Snyder did, that's where like he made the zombies run, and then from now on they all ran.
Yeah. And
it's an interesting twist that I don't think I liked at first, but I think people generally accepted that. So werewolves, I think the same thing, and hear me out on this. Instead of humans that turn into werewolves, I think, hear me out, I think it's better that it's wolves that turn into werewolves.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
For a couple reasons. Have a whole lot of them, slaughter them and kill them without feeling bad that it's a human by day that doesn't know. You know, I'm trying to think, how can you make aliens and werewolves, like the movie Aliens from James Cameron?
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. Put the dollar werewolves with the dollar sign.
I mean, that's not something that they've done, and I really feel like that could work. You know,
that's true. I mean, I would even love just more character deep dives. Like, did you ever watch either Being Human, the UK version, or the US version?
No, I don't think so.
It's kind of like a situational dramedy, I guess, where, like, you know, it's three roommates. Well, technically, it's two roommates that are living in an apartment that is possessed by a ghost that was killed. Like this girl was murdered in the apartment. And so she's a ghost living there. And there's a werewolf and a vampire that, you know, become friends as a result of their various going ons. And so then they're looking for a place to live together because, like, you know, you think about, like, once a month you have to lock up the roommate to make sure that he doesn't run out and murder people. And then the other one's like, hey, please don't let me murder people because I'm thirsty.
This is with Sam Witwer?
Yeah, Sam Witwer was in the American version.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I'm gonna check that out. Thank you.
It's a fun show for sure. But again, you know, it takes those typical tropes that we always associate with those things like ghost, werewolf, vampire, and then kind of plays with the human aspect of it. You know, like what do they do when they're not?
How to navigate a human? Yeah, that's actually pretty good. And that's. And real quick, Lucas Garrett. Sup, Lucas Garrett. Go check out the anime cosplayer who made the largest RX-78-2 Gundam cosplay. And I showcased it recently. Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out because, here we go. Let me share that here real quick. Thanks, Lucas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So check this out. Anime Superfan creates largest Gundam cosplay in the world. Okay. So, in my mind, I was thinking like a giant robot, but this is a super detailed giant suit anyway.
Yeah. Dang. It looks like it's kind of modeled after like the real grade RX-78-2. Oh, yeah. Like the proportions of it look very real grade.
Yeah. It almost has a mix of that in the statue one that... I guess with the chest, or maybe that's just the vents.
I see what you're saying, how they're kind of like angled instead of just straight rectangle vents.
That's well done. And then the Char cosplay with the, a little placard there.
I mean, these days it's all about getting that Guinness record, right? Like
it must be. It's funny. Cause I was watching, when did that come up? Some other Guinness World Record things and the guy didn't do the thing. So it didn't, I don't know. So much going on in my mind the past week. I don't remember it all, but
I know a lot to catch up on.
But yeah, I keep thinking, Zionic Shadow. I remember you said you saw that movie. what was another thing I was going to get into, or are we going to move on to the first topic? I think we're going to move on to the first topic. Actually, the other thing is I was going to be on your show yesterday. You had Wayne on there from Howling at the Earth. The new song that came out is really good. It's interesting how you because you've listened to more Coheed and Cambria and that style stuff than me, even though I like it and appreciate it. Because it's like, I almost feel like it's post metalcore punk.
Something like that. I mean,
it's very unique.
Yeah, we've gotten so far down the rabbit hole of various genres, and I think I've mentioned before, you know, I've got friends that are in bands that are like, oh, you know, we're post progressive hardcore, and I'm like, I mean, that sounds like screamo to me. Like, why don't we?
Because it's cool. Because when I listen to the new track, it's like a query. It's an interesting word. It starts with an A.
Yeah, Orontius. Actually, we didn't. I feel bad. It's like we talked about it before we got on the show, but it's it's a Latin word for orange. Which there was actually an interesting story around the naming of this track. Wayne tells it a lot better than I do, so I'll leave it at he went through a lot of different names that were spiritually relevant to the theme of the song, but for whatever reason would not, let's just say they wouldn't do well with focus groups.
Oh, okay. I see. And then there was that, I remember I wanted to talk to you about this. If I don't say it now, I'll forget. You made a comment to him about like double bass. And is there Coheed and Cambria where they do a lot of double bass?
Interestingly enough, actually, I think I sent you, there was a Drumeo interview with the drummer from Coheed and Cambria. And even though sometimes it sounds like there's a double bass pedal, he is not a double bass pedal guy.
That's an Iron Maiden thing. Very few drummers can do that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He actually has a very unique drumming, and because you're a drummer, so you'll appreciate this. He has like what they call like that open stance, where instead of having crossed arms, where it's like hi-hat with the right hand and snare with the left, he plays open, where it's hi-hat with the left and snare on the right.
That's cool, because I think you can make things work for you to make it sound incredible.
Yeah.
And
I think that that's one of the reasons that I love having Wayne on, is to, you know, explore those different avenues of creativity, because I think that there's a lot that we can learn from each other in different genres.
Yeah. Creating things. Yeah. I just had to bring this up because 16 Times is saying the guy from Anthrax was single pedal. And I didn't know that, because I always associate Anthrax with having really good double bass. So,
yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny how, like, when I was younger and I'd listen to all this like metal and punk, and I'm all like, yeah, the adults don't care. And now I'm like an adult talking about this, and I'm like talking about Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. Now I feel like, okay, I think that's old now. And I don't know. What was I going to, an idea just popped into my head and then I just forgot it, but doesn't matter.
The theme of this show is ADHD.
No, yeah. Okay, let's jump to this real quick, because share this. So I wanted to talk about the new mobile suits that we'll be seeing in Requiem for Vengeance. Again, I put that video up, and when I act excited about it, like, you guys are seeing my true, like, I'm a little kid, like, oh my gosh, we're gonna see these new robots and we're gonna see them jump out of planes. Oh my, like, this is badass. And so,
well, and, you know, as someone who, you know, watched your old content, and, you know, you were just kind of getting into Gundam as, you know, as IBO was coming to a close, and as Witch from Mercury was starting to take off, and like the live action movie was being announced, I can honestly say that I have not seen you as like giddy and excited for a Gundam project, you know, period, as this, you know.
I think a lot of it has to do because of the potential around it.
Yeah,
you know, like, I would rather this been like a Sunrise animation or live action. But I mean, if they're gonna utilize Unreal Engine 5 to make the suits look this detailed and unique while still retaining some same aspects, that's what I want to talk about here, because as excited as I am, I want us to be honest about what we really think, you know, these things, how they look.
And I think that that's an important thing to mention, because I, you know, we've both been kind of active on Twitter reacting to some of the images that have been leaked, like, you know, slow dripped out by various media sources. And what I want people to kind of understand is that it's possible to be excited about something while being honest that maybe it's not exactly how you want it to look, or maybe you have criticisms about it. And I think that kind of, it gets frustrating sometimes, because you'll see a lot of people online that are either like all positive and you know that they're kind of faking it, or they're like all negative. And it's like, okay, but is there anything that you like about it, or are you just being negative because of one little aspect of it? And so, like, I don't know, maybe I'm like off my chain a little bit, but I feel like you and I tend to be a little bit more fair and balanced when it comes to our critiques and assessments of things, specifically around Gundam, because it's like, if you love something, you have to be able to criticize it.
Exactly. And I'm glad you're saying this, because, you know, again, the thing I hear at the beginning when it comes to the facial animations, when they first showed this off, even when I was reading the comments in the Netflix YouTube, people are just commenting on the facial animation. It's like, I want to critique that, but that's the caveat to, this is going to be worth a watch. Like,
yes,
I agree. That looks, but this is going to be worth a watch.
I'm still going to watch it. Yeah.
And I'm curious, and I don't know if you know this or anyone in the chat knows, when something drops on Netflix, is it like the same time in every region zone? Is there a certain time of day? Because if it's possible that I could do like, we're either in Discord or something and we're all just sitting there and then we want 3, 2, 1 go, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, if anyone knows, let me know in Discord. So, let's take a look at this. This is the Zaku 2 F-Type. Now, F-Type, that already exists?
Yes.
And so, because there's like the FZ, there's the, or what am I thinking? Yeah, the F2?
Yeah, the F2 was like the last production model Zaku that came out during the One Year War. So the F-Type, you know, obviously was one of the early adopters. So as I understand it.
Oh, no one. It's funny. I always like when I get to say this. No one is saying the F-Type is the standard Zaku. Cool. So it's like, yeah, because there's the FC also.
Yeah. So there's like the J-Type, which is the ground type. There's the C type, which was introduced in Origin as like a proto to the F type and the J type. The F type is the one that is functional in space and on land.
Okay. So cool that we can establish that. Now, Lashan Custom, I'm assuming Lashan is going to be the name of the pilot, and I'm assuming we're going to learn. Yeah. This is the, Red Wolf.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, a mass-produced mobile suit developed by the Zeon Army, the Zaku 2 F-Type, holds a brief combat history and features minimal customization. The unit is distinguished by unique shoulder armor coloring, earning it the codename Red Wolf Charlie. So I think it's like the Red Wolf team, right? Or is it? And then Charlie, is a guy's name Charlie Lashan? Or I don't know.
It's probably like a military designation, like Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, that sort of thing.
And then looking at it, like, I don't want to lead with I have no complaints, but I guess looking at it, I'm just seeing a lot of good stuff. I mean, when we see it in action, maybe there'll be more, but I think, and I will admit, when I first watched Mobile Suit Gundam and I saw the Zaku, because this was done on purpose, I was like, that's the goofiest looking robot. But like, they can show that you can take that design and really make it grounded.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about the Lashan custom compared to like the Solari, which was the first Zaku that we got to see from it, the proportions of it look a little closer to what we would expect. Like, if I had to choose, like, hey, which high grade do I want, I'm kind of leaning towards the Lashan over the Solari.
Interesting. Okay, then we'll get down to that then and see. And it's got the machine gun, Heat Hawk in the back there. I like the antenna stuff and just the little things. So
the shield spikes is a nice touch, like the on the base of the shield.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, I wonder if we're gonna see any, because I don't know. Can you see like sort of from the rear view? There seems to be like that kind of hinge where it's attached.
Oh, this is better.
Do you remember in the 40th anniversary animation where there were the Zakus that were arriving, and one of them had like two shoulder shields?
Yeah,
and that was like the artillery unit that like the shields spun around and like planted in the ground, so that like it was like a mid range artillery unit.
That's pretty neat. In like looking at, I mean, I guess it depends when the model kit of this comes out, like doing customizations where you could like remove it. And it does look like over like by the shoulder here, there's like a little hinge. And then even down here on the back.
When it comes to Nature Valley, which camp are you in? The classic crunchy bar?
What is that?
Sounds like an ad. I myself am a crunchy guy. Breakfast bar.
Introducing Nature Valley. Is that maybe an ad
on the page? Yeah.
Wow. Well, I just got sponsored. No, I'm joking. No, but anyway, what I was going to say is I wonder, though, when these kits come out, if they're going to have like the little like how customizing they're going to be. But
yeah,
and that reminded me of something actually real quick for Vengeance box art. So is it not showing it?
We did get some of the box art on the original kit, or like the first two kit. I say first two because I hope that there's more to come, but
I'm hoping. Yeah. That whole squad. Let me go to this. So yeah, which this box art is sick anyway. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of logos and crap, but just dude, this Gundam right here just looks so badass.
It looks a lot better on the, and I think I commented on this on a Twitter thread, because, you know, obviously the debate between Kotoki versus Okawara mecha designs came up. And one of the things that I pointed out is that I think everyone knows that I think Kotoki's overrated. But I think that his designs typically get a lot of credit because he's a much better poser of the mobile suit. And so it's like when you look at some of the line art of mobile suits done by Okawara, the posing of it looks kind of goofy.
Right.
I think that the designs are still better, but the posing makes it look goofy. And similarly, when the AI generated images of the designs were first leaked, like what, almost 2 years ago now, that pose that the Gundam is in is kind of dumb. But when you look at it on the box art, I think this looks way better. I know that that was a long-winded way of saying, I think this looks better than just looking at it posed.
Exactly. Like, I do like what they're going at here. Like, I feel like this could attract people's eyes. I would assume these would be showing up in Target since Target's been carrying Gunpla. Like, it would be cool. Awesome to see something like this in Target. But yeah, to go back to this. So that was that one. Okay, Zaku 2 F-Type Chubbs Custom. I like the sound of that. I don't know why I said that.
The Chubbs.
This version of the Zaku 2 F-Type, also developed by the Zeon Army, features prominent shoulder spikes designed more for intimidation than actual combat use. Its distinctive color scheme is applied to the shoulders and head, giving rise to its codename, Red Wolf Bravo. Yeah, just like you said, Charlie Bravo. Yes, if you guys don't know, this is the I knew this page existed, but I waited until today to read it. So,
yeah, so you're getting authentic reaction content here.
You are
not.
No, really. Yeah. And so, yeah, another thing is the red stripe on the top. I like that.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. A kind of a distinct characteristic. Yeah. And about the spike armor is different. So, yeah, that way you can tell them.
Yeah, I saw like a whole like, you know, pardon my language, but bitch fit about like the spikes on the shoulders are totally functional, and it's like no, they're talking about this specific unit. It's not that all F-type spikes are non-functional and for intimidation, but the specific unit.
Yeah,
like yeah. Those little spikes there. I don't think, well, so yeah, that one I think was functional, but like compared to the Chubbs custom where it's like two of the spikes, I think are functional there, but like two of them, they would never hit anything. So yeah. Like, I don't know. Again, the discourse around these designs is so slanted and like,
yeah, but I wonder if it would have been different if it was like an animation cell, if that's the right word, but or animation, like, and not a, you know, Unreal Engine, like, you know what I mean, where people would be more open, but I don't know.
Maybe so. I mean, nobody had any complaints about like the Goof shoulder,
right?
Spike, right, and those ones are curved, so obviously there's zero function associated with them.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, cool. Here. Oh, this sounds like what I would use for my diet, the Zaku 2 F-Type Kale.
Custom. Bad for your health.
Hard for medium to long range support. The Kale custom variant is equipped with a precision long rifle and advanced targeting sight. The unit's color accents highlight the shoulders and hands, earning it the codename Red Wolf Delta. Yeah, the red hands. That's a nice touch.
It's pretty sweet. And I love the sniper rifle. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about that is that why should a mobile suit firearm have a stock? Like, why should it have a stock to bury? Like, there should be zero recoil associated with it. Like, a mobile suit should be able to handle the recoil from its weapon. You know,
maybe it can't.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at like the Beam Magnum, that's a weapon that generates too much recoil for a mobile suit arm.
But, oh yeah, that's like a good example of that actually happening. And I guess normally in universe we don't come across.
Well, so, typically, like, most of the weapons do have a stock.
Right, like, but it's not like
a machine gun does.
Yeah, you never really see an issue where a gun is an issue for a mobile suit other than, the Unicorn or the Magnum, or if it was, like, a power thing.
Yeah, something like that. So, basically, long and short of it, I love that this has, like, a short stock. It's not, like, it's not a really, typical sniper rifle.
That's a really good point. Yeah, you had a good point.
We could talk about the efficacy of scopes on a on a mobile suit too. Like, obviously, like, are you gonna use the scope on the rifle? I don't know.
I wonder, like, is that like, for instance, more processing power perhaps for targeting an AI?
Maybe so. Opinion. You know, these are the deep dive questions that nobody answers in the Gundam universe. Is like,
why does a rifle need a scope on a robot's gun?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was that one. Then there's this one. Yeah, Zaku to unidentified type. I wonder if either that's as a mystery, or they're just not releasing maybe the name of what this is going to be, because it's like the variation of the main mobile suit.
Yeah, so this looks like the one that came out kind of later down the line, where because it's the Gundam Universe figure has this extra armor, yeah, and you know that stuff going on, whereas the model kit does not.
Yeah, so the Zaku 2 custom built for Solari incorporates parts from various mobile suits. Despite this, thanks to Alfie's dedicated efforts, it boasts performance on par with standard models. Notable features include its dual-layered shield, designed to defend against beam weapons, and its distinctive external treads affixed to the armor. So, yeah, the treads are affixed to the armor. My first thought was the DJ wings.
Yeah.
Oh, but I guess, yeah, better view from it still looks kind of like that, but that's a very interesting shield. I guess it's something that folds open or something, right? Because doesn't that look kind of weird for that just to be that?
I mean, it seems almost like a field upgrade. Like if they, and this is one of the things that I've talked about with like the first episode of Gundam, where the first time you get to see the beam rifle, it's like, oh man, that has this warship grade cannon on it, right? You know, how would you defend against it? Like, you'd probably just have thicker armor. And so it looks to me like they just taped a couple of shields, yeah, together, and they're like, you know, is it going to protect you for more than one or two shots? Probably not. But
you know what? I like this as a very practical way to, for fans, for them to get their new mid-season mobile suit. But in universe, it's done in a practical way where it's not like, okay, here's this advanced super thing we've been working on in the background. No, it's like, okay, we're going to button this up with whatever we got around here to just make it look badass, you know?
Exactly. You know, shout out to Alfie for doing this. The unsung hero of the one-year war.
But I love the wolf ears look, yes, that it's going for. That's very unique for Zaku, and I think it works, you know, for this.
Now, what do you think of the almost like the football helmet grates over the mono eye?
You know, it's like extra detail almost, because it looks functional, even though we haven't had to see a function like that used for anything. But it's still pretty cool. I think they've done a good job of kind of modernizing that 1979 goofy looking green thing, you know, into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, so a couple other things too that's interesting moving down is the toes, little claws on the feet there. And it looks like there's different variant looking missile pods on there, almost like, without the shielding on top. So again, everything's kind of like just slapped on.
Yeah, they almost look more like grenades that have been strapped to the.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, looks great. Okay, so this is the cool one. The Goof Custom, an enhanced yes, variant of the Zeon Army's mass-produced mobile suit. The Goof Custom delivers formidable firepower through its long-range Gatling shield. It is equally adept in close-quarters combat. Cool, utilizing heat sabers, and heat rods for maximum versatility. And I'm just using that S like aliens, because it's always cool when there's more than one.
Oh, yeah.
So there is so much going on here that is actually quite badass. I mean, I love how this shield thing has this sort of, and that could be, the sword. Look at the sword. And it's more of a straight up sword that is behind this shield that has a Gatling gun that shortened, which you brought up. It's, you know, shortened, yeah, to make it more practical. Like, this is the coolest armament I think I've seen in UC Gundam, right? Like, the shield, yeah, with a sword and a Gatling gun.
I mean, it's so iconic that to this day people still talk about like the Norris Packard custom Goof being like,
yeah, you know, very popular one. We have, yeah, Goofy Tuesday, what, in the Discord, where people post pictures of the Goof on Tuesday, Goof or Guff. Yeah, I say it differently every time, but
it's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun. And then the symmetry with the spikes, it's interesting how it doesn't go that piping football helmet throughout. They kind of kept this full bodied and just kind of put details on the armor pieces itself.
It's interesting because, and I think this goes to like the original Goof design, is that like, I can imagine the reason for stripping out like the leg piping is because on ground you actually have like, you know, infantry and artillery on the ground that can target the leg piping and then kind of cripple the mobile suit. And the Goof being designed as a ground type mobile suit, it's like, we need to optimize this thing for Earth combat.
We've brought that up before. It's very interesting to think how Zeon had to, as they were developing these mobile suits and invading Earth, it's like adapting, and they did a good job adapting to Earth, which was kind of scary to think about. okay. Now, this I love.
Okay.
GM, developed by the Federal Army, the GM is a mass-produced mobile suit derived from the technological advancements of the Gundam project, although featuring reduced performance. The GM was crucial in the Federal Army's victory through its sheer, numbers. So I like it. I'm trying to zoom out. So I feel like this is a very extreme, almost an extreme redesign of the GM.
It does feel like the Federation mobile suit designs got a lot more, liberties taken with them.
Yeah, and so the thing is, it just says GM here. You know, the other ones specifically said F-type. This just says GM. I think in the show we're going to learn that maybe there was, and this could explain a lot of things, you know, that GMs came from what they built from the Gundam. So if with the Gundam EX was having all these extra pieces, and I mean, yeah, even looking the back of the, I didn't even notice this, the GM has the two sabers on the back.
I mean, just the grip on that seems so impractical.
Well, it probably like pops up and over. And then he grabs. That's why, yeah. I think that is so badass for a GM to, like, you know, like they're shooting, and then pull out the saber and fight. And then maybe like they lose it and then they can pull out another one. Or they might work with power capacity and being like, the beam saber's been used up. And then use the next one. I would love that. That's a cool idea. So the other aspects too about this is that the GM head also has more of that. What is it? The commander type. Am I thinking that right? I'm always forgetting the names. Let's see. A GM.
Type. Well, it almost looks like the Camouf, right? Like the Zeon GM.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it kind of has the mono eye going on.
Okay, let me look this up. I think it's type C, maybe. The head very much looks like the type C. So again, I wonder if that's kind of the explanation. It's just called a GM for now. But as we get into the show, we're going to see how, in order to get the Gundam EX, and these GMs, again, it's them taking all these parts that they've had, a mix of like the C-type. You brought up the beam spray gun.
Extra tiny.
When did we talk about that? I felt like it was the other day, but then I felt like I haven't talked to you in a while because of me being sick.
It was probably me trash talking on Twitter, which is...
Oh, okay. Maybe
how I spend my nights and weekends is...
And then the other thing too, which is really cool, again, I guess goes to the idea that these are a bunch of customized things slapped together, is the shoulder looks like there's options to maybe attach things to the shoulders.
Yeah. What do you think there's like these hooks that seem to be, and so one of my criticisms of this design is that the shoulders are kind of small, you know, by Gundam standards, right? Typically we like seeing like big shoulder armor, pauldrons, but these seem very scaled down, but there seems to be a function behind that, right?
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what that could be, where it's maybe there's different shield types that they can attach, rockets. I don't know. And it's interesting because even with this more slimmer style look, I think it it actually makes practical sense how the lower half is still a little more fuller. You know, it's not as like a slim. I love the Federation emblem, like right there in the middle.
Yeah, that's always a nice touch. I mean, you and I appreciate that about like the ground type Gundams from Thunderbolt. Yeah. And like,
yeah, just
anywhere where you can sneak in a Federation crest.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that, yeah, very excited about this. Yeah, let's move on. Zaku tank. Okay, a resourceful improvised weapon created by merging the upper body of the Zaku with a Majella base. As an unofficial creation, the Zaku tank comes in various configurations assembled from surplus parts and saw widespread use thanks to local ingenuity.
And there you go.
I mean, this looks great. We've seen these in Gundam before, so we know to expect. It's cool that they're showing it. But, you know, something I wanted to bring up is how they talk about, like, improvised weapon created merging assembled from surplus parts.
Yeah.
This show takes place in November. Yeah. The series takes place in November, you know,
and by that point we're talking about like after Makuve has fled Earth, like, you know, Odessa's been abandoned. So it's like,
there's scraps everywhere potentially. Yeah. And that could explain why the GMs and the Gundam EX is going to look the way it does. Like, this could be at a time in the war where, different pockets where activity is taking place is going to have these soldiers just scrambling together. You know what?
Yeah.
You know,
if so, they're cut off from like, you know, any kind of supply lines and stuff, you just got to work with what you've got, which this brings up a very interesting question. So look at this Zaku tank and particularly the Majella part of it, the tank part. Is it just me or is the two-ply shield that the Solari custom Zaku has, is it made from tank parts? I swear it's just the hull of the tank slapped.
I think you could be correct considering then where did the treads come from?
Right.
Yeah. This, it could be somehow this part is, that's a really good,
You know what? Reduce, reuse, recycle. Obviously Zeon is the party of green. So if you are interested in
low impact warfare, low impact on the environment,
right? The carbon offset, their carbon footprint is lower than that.
this is funny. This Zaku looks, Zaku tank looks like he just wants a hug.
I know.
You know
I
just what? See him like, you're right. okay. All right, this is awesome. Ground assault gun tank type B designed by the Federal Army to counter the Zaku 2 threat. This anti-mobile suit tank boasts a simplified chassis from earlier models. The gun tank type B was deployed effectively in combat, focusing on ground assault operations. Now,
I would hope so, because it doesn't look like it would fare too well in space.
Yeah. Although, hey, ask the GBO2 people that play in this. Sometimes you do. No, but one thing, and I'm going to hate if I'm wrong about this. Did we see these in 0079, or is that mainly like the origin?
So the assault gun tank specifically, I think, was in a video game first.
Oh, okay. But it's not in the original anime.
No, definitely not.
Okay, yeah. So it is cool that they are kind of doing this sort of thing, because then this is something that would have existed then anyway. But we,
and it's worth noting that this is the only one that has a distinct type that is not from the anime or like video games. So like type B, like there is an assault gun tank, but the type B is a new one.
Well, good. Again, I like that we get the specificity here.
Yeah.
Because I think, again, that's the world building. The GM didn't have that. I think that's on purpose. I think we're going to get more information about the GM.
Now, 16 times a second says that it first appeared in Igloo.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
So look at that. It's an homage to the first CGI.
The first PS2 CGI. No, I'm joking. Okay.
Does it have a... Is that like a plow attached to the back of it? That's very functional.
Back that thing up. There's a joke there. I just don't know what it is. I don't. No. So, you know, just to kind of recap real quick, the coolest thing about what we just did is how fun we were able to extrapolate parts of the Gundam universe, specifically UC 0079 stuff, just from looking at the designs. How often do properties do this a lot? You know, that you're really into something and then you can look at the designs and be like, wow, that's cool. Oh, this is because of this. Oh, this is from that. Oh, the stock is short because the sniper wouldn't need, like, that you pointed out. Like, this is, again, reasons why I like Gundam and why I'm excited about.
Now, as a throwback to or a callback to something you brought up earlier, you know, I've heard that that's what like Alien Romulus is, right? Is like it's full of those types of references to the original Alien franchise that people will appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you know, you bring up a really good point. And I think that this is where Gundam has been able to shine, because I personally love I love member berries or callbacks every second. In Gundam has never had to fully rely on that. For instance, they made Kukru's Doan's Island, but that wasn't because they wanted to, like, oh, people want Amuro, we need to make a new... No, it was because
Yasuhiko Yoshikazu. Yeah.
Thank you. I need to practice that one day. It's because he wanted to be able to kind of fulfill something that's been on his mind. But at the same time, I think it serves then the audience, because of course they'd like something like that. But when you watch Hathaway, it's not like every second, like there's a picture of, I was just thinking Unicorn when Bright looked at the picture of Amuro, but that made sense there.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like a character building moment, but to your point, like there's never this forced moment of like, it would have been very awkward for, you know, Full Frontal, for instance, to say to Benazir, like, oh, you know, blame the unicorn on the misfortune of your birth. And it's like, oh, he said the thing. He did it. Yeah. Like,
no, that's like, a good example.
That doesn't happen.
Because that was the thing that, you know, when Alien Romulus has been out for a while now, but there's a scene where someone kills an alien and he goes, you know, get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah.
And was like, what? That's Sigourney Weaver said that in Aliens, which takes place after this. So that's just for the audience. So you just broke the fourth wall when I'm trying to be invested in a new lore of. So
it's like, thanks, Ryan Reynolds. Appreciate it.
I like that you said that. Okay. So Zionic Shadow just said something. He goes, now here's my question. Can those Zaku shields detach and use as a gauntlet? So I didn't think about that, because remember, Stephen, we were talking about that little piece.
Yeah, those like spikes at the bottom and like.
Well, that piece that's connected like to the side and the shoulder there. What if that kind of extends out and down across the bottom of the arm? And then,
I mean, that was a thing on the ground type Gundams from 8th MS team, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like a hinge that they could that little shield off. And
these are designed by that same guy. So I can see him doing stuff like that. Really good shout out, Shadow. Yep. That was a good call. I did not think of that. Well, cool. Yeah.
What a fun exercise going through that. Great idea.
No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, as we go through that, doesn't that really make you excited for this? Like, in terms of, it almost seems like there's no way that this could really be shit. Like, I feel like it might, maybe it doesn't tell the most interesting story, which to me, if it's just getting revenge on a Gundam, like that's.
And you and I have talked about this before, is like, how much more new ground is there to really tread in the Universal Century? You know, because I think we've talked about how, like, we kind of just want to see like badass mobile suit battles.
Yeah.
And whatever the context is around it, like story wise, you know, am I really watching Requiem for Vengeance because I'm expecting like a deep character driven drama? No, I just want to see CG Gundams.
Yeah. And I think that's another example of what I think Bandai, you know what? I got to get this logo off your head. Another example of
I like it.
What Bandai does right, because at the same time, we got something like Hathaway, which is character driven. And there really weren't a lot of mobile suit battles, because it's telling a great story. And then at the same time, Bandai could be like, okay, let's do something with Unreal Engine 5 because people want the animation. And so let's just then make this all in CGI and let's just have from that clip they showed. It's not like we were seeing people like talk all the time. It was like flip this switch, open this, look at this gear turn, look at, and it's like, oh shit. Yeah. We're about to get into it.
You can tell like what they want you to pay attention to just like given the context of the scenes that it's like, clearly they don't. And even the dialogue in it is like, launch mobile suits.
Yeah.
You heard them, Red Wolves. Let's go down. Like it's a,
So I'm pumped. I can't wait. I think this is a great type of Gundam to come out. And I'm just super excited. I already have the model kits pre-ordered. I'm super excited about the collectibles on all this.
And I think it was Xenonic Shadow in chat earlier who said that like these model kits are going to weather very well. Like if you're into like doing weathering on like, I know that, you know, they're not, I guess, anime accurate, but I think that there's some value in that. And you know, for me, like typically when I'm building Gunpla, I don't like having tons of like greebles and things all over the model kit. But like the benefit of that is that they are going to have excellent like weathering opportunities there.
Yeah, good point. I like things to be accurate to its source material. And what's cool about Requiem for Vengeance is the accuracy is tons of detail. So yeah, that's cool. We're at the end here. Hey, Jay, bro. We're just ending right now. I think they're about 20 to 30, not expensive, normal price for, and yeah, I got mine from, Galactic Toys, but, I think Lunar Toy Store. I think that's something that, Xionic sometimes I could be getting. And then there's the link in my description for, I haven't checked if they have it there yet. P-Rex Hobby?
Yeah, so I did see that P-Rex Hobby does have a few. There's only a few left of the Psycho Gundam Mark II available for pre-order. It's 109 US and I think 130, 140 Canadian dollars. You can get 5% off with Gundam Explained promo code. So
sure. Thank you. Did you pre-order it yet?
No, I haven't yet. I'm thinking about it, though. Thinking about it real long and hard.
But it's one of those things where I feel like between us, it's an obvious thing to get. But it's like, also, if people follow us, it's like, how much money do these guys have? And it's like, yeah, guys, it's hard. I can't buy it.
Yeah, I'm counting on that Christmas money to come through.
Well, cool. Well, everyone, thanks for joining us. That was a lot of fun. Check back next week, and we'll have another one of these.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I know, me too. I'm glad we got to do this again because normally we do the Free Speech Geek on Monday and then I'm on your show on Wednesday. Hope we can get back into that rhythm.
Last week I had a black eye, so I was like,
oh, that's right. I totally forgot because you're completely better because you had the glasses on.
Everyone thought I was just a cool guy.
Yeah, exactly. But it looked cool when you had the sunglasses on. It actually looked cool.
We'll bring that back.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, guys, all have a very good weekend. We'll talk later. Have a good one.